guys, welcome to episode 146 of A Wrestling Gal Podcast, providing you with a female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I am joined by the ultimate Visco girl, Becca. Now let's chat! Hello, everybody. Today, I am joined by the ultimate Visco girl, Becca. So how are you doing today, Becca?
I am great. Thanks so much for having me on the pod.
Of course, I'm super excited. So this one is going to be pretty fun because we're talking barely any wrestling, going to be honest with you. I had a lot of fun putting this one together, but I firstly wanted to talk about our mutual love of breakfast foods. So I know you love some pancakes and a good muffin. So do you have any favorite flavors or types of pancakes or muffins? Because this is a really important stuff.
Oh, yeah. I really like fruit. Especially like the crossover of like fruit and like muffins. So like blueberry muffins and like pancakes. Mm-hmm. I also really like fresh fruit on pancakes. So like a buttermilk pancake with like strawberries.
Yeah.
Or raspberries.
So those are the best. Now, what are your thoughts on like chocolate chip muffins, or are you just strictly like fruit?
I like it, but I feel like I have to be more like in the mood for it.
Okay.
Like I feel like I typically wouldn't go for like chocolate chip muffin or like pancakes like in the morning, but like maybe a midnight snack, I'll probably do that.
Now, what are your thoughts on donuts? Are you as obsessed with them as I am, or what are your thoughts on donuts?
I love donuts.
Okay.
I love like really good donuts. Like I'm not like gonna just like pick up donuts at like the store, but like there's like a bakery near me that's so good. So always going there.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of options. There's like your apple fritters, your Boston cream, your original glazed, honey glazed, yada, yada. But do you have one that is like your go-to every time?
Typically I go for like a glazed, like kind of like the classic glaze. I really like strawberry glazed.
I didn't know that was a thing. I love honey glaze. That's my, I didn't know strawberry glaze. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, good. Yeah. It was really good. I had like this one at, what's it called? Blackbird Donuts in Boston.
Okay.
So good. It was like orange. It was like orange glazed. And then it had like sugar on the top, but it was like crystallized sugar. Oh my God. It was so good. It was like incredible. Yeah.
Wow.
If you've ever been to Blackbird or like if you're ever nearby, you got to check it out.
Okay.
Well, I don't know where you're located.
Yeah. So I'm from Buffalo, New York. So it's like really close to I'm like Niagara Falls area, I think would be better geographically for people to get the idea. So we have, I don't even know if they have them near you. Like we have a lot of Tim Hortons and then obviously like your local Starbucks. And then there's a local one called Paulus Donuts, which is really good. But I actually don't know if they even have the strawberry. Maybe I just don't go there enough or I'm not adventurous because I normally stick to what I like. But now I kind of want to see if they have strawberry glazed donuts, Becca. You got me thinking.
Yeah, you got to try it. I am adding Paula's Donuts to my to visit list because I drive through Buffalo probably like twice a year at least.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's like our local, like it's famous here in Buffalo, like Paula's Donuts. People were missing out on it. And once they opened back up, there was this big boom. So I highly recommend, highly.
Oh, these look so good. I'm looking at pictures right now. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh my God. I love that. That's awesome. Well, if you're ever in town, you'll have to let me know your thoughts on them because everybody swears by them. And so do I. I love them.
Yeah. They have a Lucky Charms donut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
They got some fun stuff. Now, in general, though, what is your go-to fast food or restaurant when you're ordering out for breakfast? If you're ordering out for breakfast.
For breakfast. You know, for breakfast, I really just do Dunkin'. Like if I'm going to, like I feel like I'm not really. Well, okay. That's not true. If there's a Waffle House in the area, then like yes, I'd choose Waffle House because I love Waffle House. But like there's not really Waffle Houses in Massachusetts, so it's usually Dunkin' for me. But
Okay.
it's kind of like not really my first choice.
Okay. Well, if you're ever in the Buffalo area, we have a thing called the Pancake House. It's like on our main street, and it's pretty famous. I would think anyway. A lot of people I know when wrestlers are in town, at least the WWE stars, they've posted photos there that they've gone to. So it's really good. I haven't been there in a few years, and obviously it's closed right now, but it's very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, switching gears, so you were obviously known as the ultimate Visco girl, as you like to say. Is that something you've always identified or felt drawn to that category? Or when did you actually first learn about the Visco girl sensation?
I feel like I was one, but I didn't know that I was. And then someone like described me as a Visco girl. Like at it was like at like a show. I was like, this is pre-pandemic, and I was like working ring crew at like, I don't know, it was like Evolve or something. And someone there was like, oh, are you a Visco girl? And I was like, I guess. I was like, yeah, I guess I am. Like, I didn't even realize like I that was like a whole aesthetic, but it really is. And yeah, because I was like, you know, I have the Visco app, so like have the app. I like, you know, have the scrunchies, had everything already, and I was like, oh yeah, this like actually is what I am. So.
Now, did you actually have like the hydro flasks and like the shell necklaces often associated with Visco girls, or what else about the Visco girl did you already feel you already had?
Yeah, I have a hydro flask. I don't do the shell necklaces. And it's not, I don't like
It's
it
okay.
for me. Yeah. I feel like just like the color scheme is like
Oh,
very much my
yeah. I can
wardrobe.
see that. Like pastel-y and like bright colors. I can see that.
Yeah. I have like the metal straws. Like I don't have one of those like little backpacks. Just not really my style. I have like a tiny backpack, but it's not like the Visco girl backpack, but the backpack's like not quite me. So not that. I don't have Birkenstocks. I
Oh
don't.
yeah, I forgot about those. I don't own a
Yeah.
pair either, but I didn't know what like Visco girls were, 'cause like I'm a late 90s baby, so I had like I mean they did recently just like you said generate the term in the last few years. I don't think I knew what it was until like 2019-ish, 2018, 2019. I was like, "What is this? Like what is going on?" And then I didn't even know there was an app for it. And then like I saw it's not really my thing, but I do admire like a lot of their styles and like their aesthetics. I think it's very like appealing to the eye, their aesthetics.
I really love the Visco app because it's like social media. I feel like without a lot of the like negatives of social, it reminds me of like what like Tumblr
Tumblr?
was in like 2000 like 10 when I was on Tumblr before it went all like supernatural and like I don't know tattoo. Like I feel like when I first was on Tumblr I would just like post like aesthetic pictures and that was like my thing and then it like Tumblr went crazy and I was like I just like bounced I peaced out so I feel like that's kind of like Visco's kind of that now.
So I, from what I gather, it's kind of a cross between like maybe like a Pinterest and a Tumblr. Like I don't like again, I don't have the app, so I'm guessing I was on Tumblr for a very long time, like 2010 to like 2015, like prime time. Is it like you can post photos or is there like chat stuff? I know nothing about this, Becca. I need you to enlighten me.
Yeah, so you can post your photos to Visco and you can like follow people so you have like a feed and it'll show you like pictures and like accounts. And so it's like kind of like Instagram in that way,
okay.
Except like you can also like repost like you can on Tumblr.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So you can like create your own feed, and you can like save posts to like, you know, like look at later, like kind of like bookmarking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of
like Instagram, like, Tumblr. Okay. I can get that.
Yeah. But you can't, what I like about it is you can't, like a photo like you can on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like favoriting a photo, it's just like kind of for yourself. Like you, it doesn't like contribute to the amount of like likes that somebody has or anything. So it just like feels very like, oh, I'm just doing this for myself, and not like, oh, if I post this thing, like a certain number of people will mm-hmm. like this, and that'll like, you know, give me like a certain amount of like validation or whatever. It's just like, no, I'm just like posting things because I like how they look, and I'm liking other things because I like how they look. And there's like no other, like social media stresses me out a lot. So I really like just having like a platform where you can just kind of be creative and not have like, I don't know, all the other like negative parts, mm-hmm. like comments and like mm-hmm. whatever. There's yeah. no hashtags. There's nothing like that.
So that kind of reminds me then of an app called We Heart It. I don't know if you knew what that was growing up, but it's very similar to that, where it's kind of like Instagram, and you could search for like certain things, but like you couldn't see the number of likes, or I think you could see the number of hearts, but it was nothing where anybody really kept track of how many likes and that stuff. Like you just liked the stuff, kind of like Pinterest. So it's like a combination of a lot of things. Okay, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. I'm going to have to see now. But speaking of your scrunchies, I've seen you say that your scrunchies give you strength and courage, especially in the gym. So can you kind of elaborate on that? Like, what about them empowers you in the gym?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. So I feel like, maybe this is like too deep. I don't know.
Okay.
But like, I feel, so when I first started lifting, mm-hmm. it was like, well, I like first started at like my college, and then I went to like a powerlifting gym, and I went mm-hmm. to like a bunch of other gyms. And it's like, I feel like there's always like a kind of like stereotype of like a gym girl who like wears Gymshark and like has like the scrunchie and just like looks very feminine, maybe like wears makeup to work out. And like that type of girl was always like very like mocked mm-hmm. by the communities that I was like first started lifting in. And I think like, first of all, it's because there's not a lot of women in the gyms that I was at. And second, I think like the women that were there, like kind of saw that as a way to like make themselves seem like better, or mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, like, but I'm like a serious lifter because I don't do that stuff. And I think like it's okay to like do whatever you want at the gym, like regardless of your gender. And I don't think like anyone should feel like if you like want to wear booty shorts to the gym
mm-hmm.
and like just do like butt workouts, then I think like that's okay. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think like part of like one of the joys of like going to the gym is like you get to do whatever you want with your body yeah. and like work on yourself, or like just exist in a space. And I feel like for me personally, like I get to dress how I want to the gym, and I like having the scrunchie. And it's just like kind of a reminder that I'm being my authentic self, and that like if anyone has a problem with it, like they can go F themselves, because I don't care.
I was about to just say that too. You can go fuck themselves. I think that's funny. Yeah, no, but that's such an empowering thing. Like you, Like you're proud to do your own thing and you stand your ground in that regard. Like you do your own thing and you, I love to see it because it's something I've struggled with, like worrying about what other people think. It's gotten a bit better, but especially in that setting when you're just there to like improve yourself and do what you got to do, you shouldn't have to worry about what other people think. But like, I get what you mean though. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, especially on Instagram, it's a very like fitness Instagram thing to have like the scrunchie. And I feel like it's like, it can be good and bad because I feel like people are like, oh, that's cute. Then it's also like, oh, a Gymshark scrunchie girl just walked into the gym. I bet she's going to do hip thrusts or whatever. So I feel like, I don't know. There's just like a lot to unpack there, but in general, I also just think they're cute. Like,
they definitely are. Cute. They're really cute. How big do you actually think your scrunchie collection is? If you haven't counted it, what would you give an estimate to?
Oh my gosh. I have a lot. Like definitely more than 50.
Okay. That's a fair number.
I literally don't know. Also, because I'll give them out. Mm-hmm. Like I'll give people scrunchies. True. And then I'll buy like a pack. So it's hard to like quantify, but it's pretty vast.
Now, do you also still collect your cassette and VHS tapes? Do you still have them?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So can you tell me more about that collection and which one is your most prized cassette or VHS tape?
Oh, man. Wow. These are such like, no one ever asks me this stuff on like podcasts.
I told you, it's barely anything wrestling. I think two of the questions are wrestling.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I was like really into cassettes in high school. I was like very involved in my local like music scene, and that was like the big thing at the time. Was like local bands would distribute cassettes to like their friends. They'd only make like 20 or whatever. So it was like the really like cool thing to do at the time. And then I feel like by the time I like graduated high school, like people were like going to CDs again. And I was like, what the heck? But the cassettes were like the trendy thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just like by nature of like a lot of my friends' bands only existing on cassette, I like listened to a lot of cassettes. Mm-hmm. And then like I was in a band and we like distributed cassettes.
What?
So it was like, yeah. So it was just like a big, like, I don't know, thing, in like my friend group and just like part of my high school experience. So that's kind of how I started to collect them. And now I just like, I just really like collecting them. I have a lot of like, I have a mix of like older cassettes, like back when that was like the actual just way to listen to music. Yes,
that was me. Yeah, in like elementary, middle school. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And like now where like people are still like releasing stuff on cassettes now for the fun of it, I guess. So I have like a mix. I think my favorite is it's actually I have like a cassette tattoo. So and it says like holy tape on it. And it's like my favorite cassette. So like in high school, me and my friends had this cassette that's like just said holy tape on it and only had one track on it, and it's Jesus Built My Hot Rod by Ministry. The banger. If you haven't heard it, it's awesome. But we would just like blast it at like 3 a.m. when we were driving to Taco Bell. So it just has a lot of like great, fun, like childhood memories associated with it. So that's probably my favorite. I don't even know if I can still play it. Like it's pretty banged up.
They get old. You got to take really good care of them. Like a lot of my old like Disney VHS tapes are probably not in that good condition because we would watch them over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't even want to mess with it. Like, I'm worried if I play it, it's going to get messed up.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'll just preserve it.
And then trying to rewind it is such a hassle. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you were in a band, Becca.
Yes.
Like, what genre of music did you do, and what was your role in this band?
Oh, so I played drums.
Okay.
I was not very good, but it didn't matter
Okay.
because we were a punk band. And that's the great thing about punk is it doesn't have to sound good.
Yeah.
So that was kind of our like band like motto. The we'd say like we know we suck, or like I don't know. It was like a whole thing. Like our friends would be like, "You guys suck," and we'd be like, "Yeah, we know." Like, I don't know. We would like say that a lot. But it was like a lot of fun. So we were like, yeah, I guess like kind of varied from like hardcore punk to just like kind of like more classic punk. So it was a lot of fun.
See, I find that interesting. So you used to be a punk star, but now you call yourself a pop star. So it those two worlds are kind of like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here, or like very different images of old Becca to the new Becca we have today. So do you still listen to punk music, or are you now more in like the pop genre, or is it both?
You know, it's funny that you say that because I never really felt like a punk. It
Okay.
was more just like something like sure I was, but like a lot of my friends were very punk. Like they had like
And
the
you wanted
jean
to have fun and
jackets
fit
with the
in. Yeah,
shorts.
yeah, yeah.
And I feel like I always just was kind of like, you know, sure, like maybe I would have like a jacket or something, but in general, like I felt like I never looked especially like punk. If anything, I would say I looked, my style was more indie than punk. Alts.
Okay. I'm trying to envision you right now.
Maybe I'll find a picture. I'll send it to you. But I always like felt like I feel like I listened to the exact same music that I listened to then, and like now the same. Like I listened to a lot of pop music then too. Like I just feel like the type of music that I make now has changed, but like my like style or voice hasn't necessarily changed. So it's funny you say that because I don't really feel like I've changed that much, but maybe I haven't. I just didn't know.
Who are then some of your favorite pop stars of the modern day and from the past then, just so we can get a better idea of like your pop music taste?
I really love Poppy. Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like Poppy, in terms of like a pop star, is like one of my favorites. She's just does whatever she wants, and I think
Yeah,
that's
she has
cool.
a really cool and unique vibe about her from
Yeah.
what I've seen. Yeah.
I really love JoJo
Oh yeah,
Siwa.
she
Awesome.
is such a great influence too, especially well, and plus she used to do the whole like ponytail and sometimes a scrunchie thing too. So I can
Yeah.
see that too. Yeah. She's so young, but she has really like come out of her shell and had so much influence the last few years.
Yeah, I think she's awesome. I feel like she gets so much hate. And there's like really no reason for it.
No, no.
Like the hate that she gets is always like she's annoying. And it's like, oh my God, she's like 16. Like, have you
Yeah.
ever talked to a 16-year-old before? Like, they're annoying. Like, we all were annoying when we were 16.
I
Like,
certainly
what are you
was.
talking about? Like, of
Yeah.
course she is. Like, let her live. Like, it's crazy. So big fan of JoJo Siwa. Think of like pop stars that I really like listen to. I like Dua Lipa a lot.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love her.
I honestly really love Selena Gomez's music. I think she's really underrated. I feel like it's weird saying that she's underrated because she's so famous, but I feel like her music is very underrated.
She's evolved so much too from her Disney days to now, and it's like incredible to see.
Yeah, right. I feel like she's really like found her own like voice. I love Ariana Grande's music. It's so good. I like her a lot too. Her style is very like cool. Yeah.
Okay,
I
fair enough.
like Troye Sivan. I like Troye Sivan a lot.
He's incredible too.
Yeah.
Him starting at YouTube and now becoming like a huge pop star. Like, I knew Troye Sivan like way back in the day before he was like doing music and all that. And it's weird, you grow up with these people and now a lot of them like go from YouTube to like music or acting careers. And it's so strange, but it's so cool to see too.
Yeah. And he's like kind of a household name now.
Yeah, like, I think
my
so.
Mom knows mm-hmm. him, so that's kind of cool. Yeah, I saw, this is crazy, but I saw like Dua Lipa open for Troye Sivan on like one of his first, mm-hmm. maybe it was his like second US tour.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy to think about now, because now I feel like she's a bigger name than he is, but it's crazy how like fast pop music mm-hmm. works. Oh, I also love Sophie. Sophie's like probably one of my favorite, but I don't know if you mm-hmm. really consider Sophie like pop or like, I don't know, like post-pop or something. I don't know.
It's still in the pop genre, like overall, yeah. like the general thing. Yeah, I think so. Like she's still in the general scope of it. Okay, oh my God. So got a lot of variety there. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now, what is your go-to karaoke song? If you're going full out pop star, which you say you are, what is your go-to karaoke song?
This is what dreams are made of.
Oh my God, Becca, yes.
I like don't even know what the song's called, but that's what I would go to.
Are you talking about the Hilary Duff, Lizzie McGuire?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey now. That was the first, I'm aging myself. That was the first DVD I ever bought from Blockbuster. Like, what was that, 2000 and... like 3 or 4 or something. Oh my God.
Yeah, that song's awesome. It's a great song.
Oh, that was a good time. I miss it. Lots of good old Disney songs. That's a good one. I feel like that's very recognizable now. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. It's a bop. For sure.
Now, obviously, no, okay, I got off track, but this has been fun. Now, obviously, your gear and your demeanor in the ring is overall very fun and bright, like we said earlier. So does that kind of translate into your personal style in real life? I think we kind of touched on this easier, but how would you describe your overall sense of style in real life?
I mean, I do feel like when I step into the ring, like everything is kind of like upped, like my intensity, my overall demeanor, my aesthetic. So like I do think that my style in the ring is like an exaggeration. Like I don't wear like 50 scrunchies every day like I do in the ring.
Your head your hair would hurt. Yeah.
Like I, like, you know, like with my gear, I usually have in like all of my arms. Realistically, like I would have like, I usually wear like a scrunchie, have one on my wrist or like so on. I have like a lot of scrunchies that I would never wear to the ring because it's like they're like more like workout ones or whatever. But like in general, I'd say it's pretty similar, just like maybe a little like more casual, like toned down to the occasion. I do love pastels. I do love tie dye. That's just like genuinely me.
Yeah.
And so it's like fun to bring that into my gear. I just like have a lot of fun with my gear. Like I feel like it is just like an extension of like what I would wear every day, but it's mm-hmm. like, oh, but I can wear whatever I want. So like, let's go crazy. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. You have more freedom and there's more like, you don't really have to worry that much about what people are thinking of you. Cause it's like you're putting on a performance, you know, you're like cranking yourself up to 10. I've heard a lot of people say out there, so you can basically do whatever the hell you want out there. Is in terms of like gear and that stuff. But you definitely seem to have a lot of fun out of there, and you can definitely see that in your work and your energy and your attitude. So is there any spot or match you've done that you consider the most exhilarating moment in the ring for you?
Oh, the most exhilarating moment. Wow, that's a great question.
It could be like a fun spot that you tried for the first time, or it could be like, I know sometimes they do comedy stuff, something that was just overall really exhilarating or fun. It doesn't even have to be one necessarily. If you have multiple, that's fine too.
I honestly just want to say my entire match with Davian from mm-hmm. the Olympification Man Cup was just like overall incredibly exhilarating. Mm-hmm. experience. I like couldn't even pick one specific part of that match because it was just all like, I feel like a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. And afterwards I was like, that was awesome. That was so fun. I did like, maybe like my first time doing like a moonsault or something. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh my God, just jump.
You did that. Yeah.
Like you can't even think. And then afterwards, like, oh my God, I didn't die. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Good for me. So yeah.
You know, I find though that I've spoken with over 100 wrestlers now, and a lot of them say that they're like afraid of heights, but still do the moonsault, even though they're afraid to. But like once you do it, it's like really exhilarating and high energy. Like you have so much adrenaline. I don't. Are you afraid of heights at all, or were you kind of once it was done, you were kind of like relieved?
I'm not like necessarily afraid of heights.
Okay.
But it like the top rope, depending on what you're doing, can seem not that high or really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think like in general, if I'm just like standing up there, I'm like, oh, this is fine. But when there's like a lot of stuff happening in the match, there's like a lot going on, a lot to keep your eye on. Maybe like near the end of the match, like you're really tired.
Mm-hmm.
You just like, you know, I honestly feel like you don't even think about it. I'm just like, just do it.
Yeah, it's just you're in that, it's yeah. In the spur of the moment kind of thing. You're like, just fuck it, just do it, you yeah, know.
Exactly.
All right, so I got two more questions for you. I know you are looking to expand your wrestling work outside of the New England area, so is there any particular place or opponents that you kind of have your eye on that you'd like to square off with?
Oh my God, yeah. I would love to go to like Mission Pro there
in Texas. The yeah,
awesome. Mm-hmm. Like everyone they book is just like so cool. I'd love to wrestle any of them. Rashe Chanel, the fashionista, she's incredible. Like I really want to wrestle her. She has that designer boot
yeah
in the corner that's just like, oh my gosh, she just kills people with it. I love that. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, like you said, like Mission Pro, and they bring in some people outside of Texas too, but a lot of it is predominantly like the Texas girls, which has such an amazing scene right now, like Thunder Rosa running it, and then you have like, you have La Rosa Negra, you have like Roxy, Promise Braxton, Jenilyn, Alex Gracia. There's a lot of them, so I would love to see you in Mission Pro. I think that's super, like a super great goal. They're incredible.
Yeah, like all of their those names are just like awesome mm-hmm. women that are just like kicking ass.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and like speaking of like girl power and like all women, we are all about girl power here on A Wrestling Gal. So lastly, is there any female in your personal or professional life that inspires or empowers you the most?
I think like a couple of names come to mind instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ava Everett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She works so hard.
She does. She's evolved so much too over this last year, for sure.
Yeah. She always looks amazing mm-hmm. and she puts so much thought
mm-hmm.
into what she does and so much passion. So she definitely inspires me. Davian is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Davian just like brings up all of the female talent around her, and it's just like I like attribute a lot of my like this, a lot of what I've learned over the past year from her, and getting to wrestle her.
Mm-hmm.
I always learn something. She's so great. Paris Vandal
mm-hmm.
is also a very hard worker.
Brunette Barbie. Yep.
Brunette mm-hmm. Barbie. Yes. And talk about just like someone being authentic. Like, just like There's no gimmick with her. It just like, she just is the brunette Barbie and it's incredible. She's so entertaining. Highly recommend if you're gonna like interview someone.
I have her on next week.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
okay, I can't wait to listen.
I got Scrunchy Squad, I got Kathleen down, I have you, and next week I have Paris, and I've had Davy too, and I've had Ava. So I'm getting all the New England girls in.
Awesome. Yeah. Honestly, I feel like there's so many great women to like Willow, Masha.
Yeah.
Like Ashley, like all of these women that I've gotten to work with and just like, yeah, I always like learn something and it's always been a great experience. So I feel really lucky to be a female wrestler.
Yeah, I'm really proud to be a supporter of women's wrestling, especially today, because everywhere you go, whether it's US, like you said, the New England area is great. Texas is doing great. A lot of the Florida area, New York, California, and then you have like the UK, you have Australia, and just a lot of other, so many places in women's wrestling that are so blossoming, and I really love to see it, and you can definitely see it in your work that you are getting into the zone and you definitely enjoy what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Now, before I let you go, Becca, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on social media?
Yes, at scrunchyfan97 on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Becca. It's been a lot of fun. This is possibly the funnest interview I've done.
Oh my gosh, thank you. That's such a compliment.
Thank you so much again. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me on.